What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here, founder of the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about the comic books we have been reading in the past week. Lots of different ones. We've got Marvel. We got even got some Planet of the Apes stuff that I'm going to be talking about. But before we do that, remember to hit that subscribe button on the audio or YouTube so you can keep up with our latest daily episodes. So let's first jump into... James, what have you been reading this past week?
A little bit of X-Men this week. I think the big one was Extermination, number 4. This is the penultimate issue of the miniseries. And this is where the one where we're probably going to see the young X-Men, the ones who've been time displaced and brought forward, we're finally going to see them removed from current continuity and moved back to where they're supposed to be, probably. There's a big question about that at the end of this issue, which I won't spoil for people, but it's one of those kind of things where you're like, yeah, that's going to be hard for you to work around. But the miniseries Extermination has been okay going on so far. It's doing what it needs to do, which is clearing a lot of continuity traps. They've been getting rid of characters who are maybe a little too complicated or why is this character here kind of stuff. And maybe not the greatest story per se, but it's doing what it needs to do, and it's enjoyable enough. I'm looking forward to the 5th issue, and we'll see how it rounds out.
Yeah, I didn't read that one. One of the ones I read was the Halloween Avengers special, which was a bit of an odd one. It was basically like what if the heroes weren't the monsters in a parallel thing of like Daredevil, instead of they do some work on his eyes and then he's got some hallucinate, like, and he's basically killing people because he thinks they're monsters, and then suddenly Kingpin turns up with a baseball bat with like barbed wire on it to finish him off kind of thing. And what else did they have? They had kids going into a haunted house, the haunted house turned out to be, Xavier's school, and then he drops into a room full of all the villains, and then Wolverine saves them. And then there was another one of, it was just a lot of like little mini stories of like, Iron Man going up with Deadpool and Colossus against an evil defrosted Captain America. It was a load of really weird, random stories that was just put together. They've just obviously thrown the rule book out the thing and just go, what would happen if it was like Halloween-y of like horror? It was a bit of a throwaway episode of an issue, to be honest. It's not really, it didn't go anywhere. It was just an odd one, but it was kind of interesting to see them do something completely different for the week. And it kind of fitted with Halloween and stuff.
No, that's fair. It does sound like it was probably better than Vader's Castle was over on the Star Wars side.
Yeah, I didn't even bother with that one.
Yeah. I'm just going based off the first 2 issues. I didn't bother with 3 through 5. I couldn't justify it.
Okay, so I'm going to do another one of the kind of slides into the same thing of what I was talking about. What if magic? What if she basically was the Sorceress Supreme and she basically was in hell, brought out, and she managed to somehow, Doctor Strange found her, a little bit of argy-bargy, but then he trained her up, so then she would become the Sorceress Supreme. It was kind of like an interesting story, because I'm not really too familiar with magic. More about the fact of what if she wasn't an X-Man, and she was kind of was trained up by him, and the artwork was a bit odd, I wasn't so keen on it, but I'm not too familiar with the character, so it's kind of... I didn't really have that backstory with her, but it was kind of interesting to see a very different take on Doctor Strange.
Yeah, so based on what you described, the only real difference is that she beat up Doctor Strange and became the Sorceress Supreme. The rest of that stuff is part of her continuity. It's not hell per se, it's a interdimensional realm called Limbo, which is not to be confused with like the 4 other limbos that exist in the Marvel universe, but she has a specific one. It's overrun by demons and magical energies and stuff, and she is the de facto leader of it most of the time. And it sounds like the what if story here is that her time in Limbo finally corrupted her, because that's the constant fight that she has, is that she's ruling a demonic realm, which means she needs to constantly be on guard lest she becomes a demon herself kind of story, typical kind of Hell story, and it sounds like she lost the battle in the what if, and then okay, well now what happens?
No, it was actually more the other way around of her, of Doctor Strange actually training her to be good, and you know they go up again, and he goes up against like a big demon at the end, and she kind of takes over, and she becomes he's training up her because he wants to retire kind of thing, and it was a very kind of different take of it, of him just like being more of a teacher role than I'm used to seeing him in.
That's fair enough. I mean, magic's probably not the character I would have picked for that, but I could see an argument for it. And you know, as long as it was an entertaining story, then I'd say go for it.
Yeah, it's I've been kind of liking these what if ones because they're nice one shots. I quite like that sometimes. You pick up a book, you read it, and you put it down, and then that's the end of it. You haven't got 25 other parts and stretched across every subsystem over 8 months. It's done and dusted, and you move along.
That's what Exiles is for. That's the comic that's basically a series of what ifs starring the same characters. So, but yeah, I've always liked the what ifs. I didn't pick up any of the ones this month, but I'll probably check them out in like a trade paperback or something like that, because they are fun and they really do cater to the continuity geeks, because a lot of the times it's like, you know, that tiny little piece of continuity over there, what if we tweak it just a little bit and see what happens? Yeah. And in the right hands, they can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
I've been really enjoying it because I've read most of them the last like sort of, but I remember as a whole of, I know like when I go every now and again, when I get my, like, I'll top up on a Marvel Unlimited and I'll go in, and the what ifs, they seem to just draw me in. It's like something about them. I always used to, I loved like Red Sun by DC as well, where, you know, what if Superman was raised in Russia? Now, I just like the thing of where they take an idea and twist it and what could happen. But it's that thing of, you know, it's a what if, and it doesn't mean anything, but it's just like, it's just a different take on it. And I've always kind of I think I've been drawn to these for a number of years.
It's kind of fun because the what ifs, or the else worlds, as the DC universe calls them, they are both simultaneously like a tribute to continuity and rewarding you for knowing the continuity. But at the same time, they're not continuity themselves. They're just like, yeah, here it is. It's one and done, and occasionally maybe two or three issues, and that's about it. And yeah, you get to just kind of have that fun little brain puzzle of what if this were to happen. I really like it. As long as they don't overdo it, which they didn't, you know, there were only, I think, 5 or 6 of them this month, and that's it. It was just because it was a 5-week month and they had to kind of fill up some space. But yeah, as long as they don't overdo it, like DC did in the 90s and 2000s, the Elseworlds line started to really kind of overtake things. But yeah, I encourage them to keep doing this as a 5-week event. They're fun. They don't mean anything, but they kind of reward you for knowing what's going on.
Yeah, no, they were good. So what else have you been reading?
I'm going to finish up the X-Men theme here. I read X-Men Black Emma Frost number 1. So this is the final issue of the Black series, which is, there's really no connecting element to them other than the Apocalypse backstories. They really feel like they're just kind of, these are 5 major X-Men villains. This is what they're currently doing, and that's about it. Now, having said that, I think Emma Frost is the one that out of the 5 of them, has the biggest like story to it, because there is an actual Emma tricking the X-Men into doing her bidding and taking over the Hellfire Club story, which will obviously be very, very important as we move along into the Uncanny X-Men relaunch. As there's going to be a war between Hellfire Club and Magneto, based on what I'm seeing from their 2 individual Black issues. But yeah, this is actually the only one of the Black issues where I was kind of like, all right, this might actually be important, and this one might actually end up with consequences that we feel in the main title. So it's still not required reading by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think anyone should go out and rush to get this so that they understand what's going on in Uncanny X-Men. But if you were to look up an X-Men Black book, this is probably the one I would get. Unless you're like, I am a huge Mojo fan, Mojoverse and Shatterstar and Longshot, then you get the Mojo book. But if you don't have that kind of connection, this would be the one to get.
Yeah. I didn't really go too much into the X-Men on this one. But I did jump into Spider-Force number one.
Right.
And let's just say this was a book where I picked it up and, like, instantly in the first, like, paragraph of the intro, I realized I'd made a mistake because it said, oh, you need to have read this first. And it literally said, you need to read this first. I go, I haven't read that. So I don't know what's going on. And it was like, I didn't have a clue what was going on. There was lots of different Spider-Men from different universes and all fighting against a robot. And I didn't have a clue what was going on. And the artwork looked good. And there was lots of different characters and stuff. They all got brought in from a different parallel universe. And, Spider-Kid and Spider-Woman and Spider-Woman's baby and some other Spider-Man. I have no idea what's going on. It feels a little bit like, so Spider-Gennon and stuff. I'm not really doing it. It's like, I know they've got Spider Into the Verse or Spider-Verse coming up. And they're going to be kind of trying to turn this mainstream thing about all these different Spider-Men. But it's so... And they've all got this spider like continuity through time, and it's all interconnected, and they seek off the spider web. And it's like, this is just stupid. It's just like Spider-Man got bit by a spider and become powerful. That's all we needed. We didn't need this whole mess of, I understand he's popular and they wanted to spread it out. And Spider-Woman, well, I watched a cartoon since I was a kid. I understand that. I can get that. But everything else, it just it's one big mess. And it's one of those books I'm just reading. I really shouldn't have bothered with this one.
Yeah. So I read this too. I think this is the only book that both of us read this week. I read it primarily because I really like the writer's work. That's Christopher Priest, who did a Black Panther run from the 90s and 2000s, which served as a large basis for the Black Panther movie. He's currently writing Deathstroke over at DC, which is probably the best book that they're putting out. Having said that, he is a very, very difficult writer to follow at the best of times. Like, even if you're not halfway through someone else's crossover, Priest is not a writer where you're just like, oh yeah, I picked it up and I read it and it was fine. No, it's more like, wait, I need to go back to page 2 to understand what was going on page 5, which it requires effort. And if you follow the effort, it's actually tends to be worth it. But it's also one when I recommend to people, I'm like, just, you can't casually read this. This is a very serious thing. But yeah, when you throw in that whole Spider-Verse, Spider-Geddon, multi-universe spider totem nonsense, it was just like, this is stupid. This book, there is no reason for this book to exist at all, except to have alternate universe spider people fighting alternate universe Dr. Octopus people and robots. And just like, cool. I have absolutely nothing vested in any of these characters except for Spider-Woman, because she's the one from the actual Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm just like, you had to guilt her into coming in the first place. I'm not really that big on it. I mean, there is that hook where at the end of it, they're in a radiation universe and the radiation suits have broken. So, oh, they're all going to die of radiation poisoning. Well,
it doesn't maybe. It's just like, hey, get off my phone, don't care.
This is a mess. And I have to agree with you. The whole Spider-Verse, Spider-Geddon, multi-universe, just like the totem, that the Electros, which was the Spider-Verse, I think, main villain was the multi-universe of Electro characters. And you're like, really? Electro? That's who you're picking out here? and now it's Doc Ock, which makes more sense. But still, like, this isn't Spider-Man. And they've been trying to do this for years. I mean, J. Michael Straczynski tried to write the Spider Totem story arc back in the early 2000s. And even then, people were like, no, this is ridiculous. Why is this a totem? He was just a guy who got bit by a spider that was radioactive and he got spider powers. This is not the universe aligning with some spider god or something like that. No. It actively makes his story worse. But now they have it. It's too late now. It's part of continuity. It's been part of continuity for almost 20 years. It would take a major effort for them to just be, no, Spider-Man. just Spider-Man. That's it.
Yeah, it's that thing as well. The whole thing of like Miles Morales, Ghost Spider, you know, Silk, and all these different. I mean, Silk at least made a little bit more sense because of what how they did it. But you know, Ghost Spider makes no sense at all, and just Spider and you know Miles Morales, all this stuff is just them messing around with timelines because they want to spread out the popularity from Spider-Man onto other characters.
Yeah, and you know what? They didn't have to. That's the thing. You already had plenty of Spider characters without creating a multiverse. Not even just Spider-Man and Spider-Woman and Spider-Girl and Miles Morales Spider-Man and Spider-Gwen, but you've got the whole Venom, Carnage. You know, those are two basically Spider-Man characters that you've got plenty that you can do with. You've got all sorts of other like secondary and tertiary characters that you can mess around with. You can have heck, Nightwatch or Prowler. Prowler was big in the Amazing Spider-Man run a couple years ago. And so on. You've got all these characters. You don't need Spider-Man UK from Universe XYZ. You don't need martial arts Spider-Man from Thailand or whatever. You don't need the Spider-Man with a giant mech suit. Like, it's not... whatever.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, but... okay, so my last book of the week was I went over to Boom Studios for a bit, and I read the new it was the sort of Planet of the Apes book, and it had like three individual stories in there about like Planet of the Apes. Two of them were really good. The last one, the art style just completely put me off, and I was flicking through it, and I'm like, the art style actually put me off from reading it. That was how like the first two were a bit like old fashioned, and it was about now someone raising Caesar and trying to hide him, and you know all this rest of it. And another one was more about apes having a pet child, and they looked after him, and they treated him like a pet. And it's interesting. I always like jumping into the Planet of the Apes one, but it always seems to come back as the fact that they've only really got a very limited story, and they just keep rewriting the same story over and over again because they've not really It's an odd one with Planet of the Apes. They know they've got Caesar and they've got him coming up, but they haven't really kind of expanded any more than that.
Yeah, so I follow Planet of the Apes very, very casually. I haven't even seen the most recent movie, the one with, I think, Woody Harrelson in it. So
yeah.
I'm not really invested in this, so I can't talk very authoritatively on it, but I get the impression that they're really just kind of pushing it out there to have it out there, and they don't really have a reason. They just like, the reason is we make money by making these. So,
yeah, I mean, I think as well, especially like with this one, is it wasn't a cheap book. I mean, it was, I think it was like $7.99. It was kind of quite a big one, really. I mean, that's why it was a bit of a, that's why it had the three stories. But for me, I didn't mind the two stories, but the third story was just, I didn't like that art style at all. It was very jarring, and it was hard to read, and that's not so good when you're paying a premium for a book. I just fancy something completely different this week, and just like getting away from superheroes, and sometimes Planet of the Apes does that.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fair, and Lord knows they're building up a very big universe for Planet of the Apes, not just in the movies, but there have been video games and comics and all sorts of stuff, so and it's coming into Disney because it's a Fox property, so there you go.
Yeah. So anything else? Because that was all the ones I read this week.
I'll just very, very quickly, I did read one other one, which was West Coast Avengers, number 3, by Kelly Thompson. This is an absurd book and it's a lot of fun. So it's got Tigra, who's an Avenger. She's basically a woman who is covered in tiger hair and has cat-like instincts. And she is like 60 feet tall, magically, rampaging through San Francisco, and there are other giant monsters rampaging through San Francisco, and it's just a lot of fun. They've got Gwenpool in it, who is starting up a relationship with Quentin Quire from the X-Men, which is kind of crazy and awesome and weird, and I don't know where the heck they're going with it. It's just a fun book. You do have to start from the first issue, but if you're looking for something that doesn't take itself too seriously, but still tells a competent story and has some fun artwork in it, West Coast Avengers is a good series for that.
So there we go. So that was what we've been reading. Let us know in the comments below what you guys are reading and enjoying at the moment. Love to know your thoughts. You can go check us out over at thiskingdom.com for more information on Marvel and other news. I'm James. Where can they find you?
I'm at heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Later.